Brother, truth is a wonderful thing. The Lord has worked it out that the same truth given by different people says the same thing, but in a much different way. And it's a wonderful thing. Brother Lanny always gives a very clear trumpet. We're very forward to hearing his topic today. If you keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments. Brother Lanny?
Thank you, Brother Mike and Brother Mark. Appreciate very much that prayer. Brethren, we just returned from the West Coast late last Sunday, and a number of brethren, when we were out there, asked that their love be conveyed to you, including Brother Jerry and Sister Sharon Leslie, who we had an opportunity to stay with and fellowship with to some extent. Also, the love of Brother George and Sister Laura Young from Connellsville area, and my brother and sister-in-law, Dick and Evelyn Stewart. The brethren at the Thursday night meeting, a couple weeks ago, we had an opportunity to be with them, and Brother Shuttlebaum specifically asked that his love and Sister Anastasia be conveyed to you. Another one of the old timers that I grew up with, that was a particular joy to me when I was out there. When Brother Albert came into the room, he looked kind of tired, very worn. But as the truth started coming out in the meeting, I saw a change come across his face. And it thrilled me. From our class, especially Brother David Wyandak, his love be conveyed to you, and I'd say all the brethren from the Central Ohio Ecclesian. I say that with tongue in cheek, and as much as I haven't been there for several weeks. There. Brother Bob. The subject matter is, I think you jumped way ahead here. Our subject matter is, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. As you can see there. How many here enjoy being loved? I guess that's pretty unanimous as far as this goes. But stop and think about it. That the expression here is that the love comes from your bridegroom. And later as we learn that it extends far more than that. We all want to have this kind of love. And yet there is a single word, a very small word, that comes into play in our text of Scripture. I think we definitely have a problem here. We're jumping way ahead now.
I'm not sure why. Can you take those?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. The one little word, if. This love of our bridegroom and our Father is conditional. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. If that one little word, love with an if in it, means love that is conditional. or because of something. The pastor continues to say, note the conditions of God's love and Christ's love as asserted in the scriptures. And remember that this conditional love of Christ constrains or draws us who are now his followers. We need to know, in order to understand our theme text, we need to know the conditions in order that we might have this love. In John 10th chapter, the 17th verse, we read, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. We begin to see the condition that is laid here. Here you have our Lord being loved as a Father. And he's loved as a Father because of what he does. And what he did when he was here on the earth was that he laid down his life in sacrifice. Therefore, brethren, kind of like a summary statement, if we want the Father's love, if we want the Father to love us, we too must follow this, our Lord in the same footsteps that he walked in. We must be willing to forsake all, to have the joy that he had, to lay down our future life rights, but in addition to our future life rights, our life now. We must be willing to forsake all, everything, to have the joy that he had. And the result of it will be, we will be hated. Even as our Lord was hated. They will despise us, even as they despise him. They will think that we are crazy, even as they thought he was out of his mind. Or they may just think that they have a better way of doing it. And isn't that the way it is even today? And if we do lay down our life, and if we do sacrifice everything, and if that sacrifice is acceptable, then we may have the joy of taking it up again, even as our Lord did. The table seems to change here, brethren. We read, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now there is this responsibility on our part. It becomes the thought that we must love our Lord. And that will demonstrate as to whether by will be demonstrated as to how much we love him by how well we keep his commandments. This seems to be an additional thought that is brought to our attention. Continuing on, we read, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. This is stating primarily the same thought before, except for the fact it says that he that loveth me has these commandments within them. Sister Sundbaum used to say that this cannot be, these commandments, these instructions of our Lord, cannot be like fruit that is scotch taped onto a tree. The fruit of these instructions must be an actual part of us, not something that's just taped on for the time. Unless you know what the commandments, the counsel, the admonitions of our Lord are, you cannot keep them. And therefore, it is necessary for you to understand what the Lord is instructing us to do. You cannot be obedient. You cannot be faithful. You cannot be loyal to that which you don't know. It's just impossible. And so the two parts that are brought to our attention in this scripture is we need to have His commandments. And number two is having them, you have to be obedient unto them or to keep them. And then thirdly, we could add that in this text, for those that have His commandments, if you keep these commandments, then you will really have the love of our Lord. The real love of our Lord, we could say. And a fourth point could be pulled out of this also, that if you really have the love of the Lord, the connection here is that you will also have the love of His Father, because His Father will be your Father. Think about it. His Father is your Father. And fifthly, you could have the point that if you are loved of the Father, you will be loved of our Lord. The result of this love is that our Lord will manifest Himself to such a one. That's the end result of this. The Lord will manifest Himself to such a one. The words of our Lord are very important. You remember the 17th chapter of John, where our Lord gives us His prayer to the Father? And He said that I pray not for these only, but for all those who will believe on Me through their words. He was passing along His words to them that we might believe on Him. And He says in the 14th verse, I have given them Thy word. Now, here's our Lord talking to His Heavenly Father. And He says, I have given them Thy words. The words of our Lord were the words of our Heavenly Father. And He says, and the world has hated them. Interesting contrast here, brethren. Isn't it wonderful to be hated by the world and loved by the Father? Just simple contrast. Hated by the world and loved by the Lord for the same reason. His words, His plan. We started off with the chart of the ages as kind of a backdrop for the theme. And therein you have His words illustrated. Continuing on in the bottom of the screen here, if a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and I will come in unto him and make My abode with him. How does the Father manifest, or how does the Lord manifest Himself to us, to you and I? How does He make His abode with us? Well, you know that, brethren. You know that because you experienced it. Our Lord has manifested Himself to you. Remember in 17th chapter of John also, our Lord said that the disciples, which the Father had given Him, were different than all the other people that our Lord ran into in His 3.5 years. They were different from one standpoint, as they knew the Father. They knew the Father. And you and I have had the privilege of knowing the great Creator of this universe. We've known Him in a most intimate way of understanding His thoughts and understanding what's going to happen. Brother Larry stood here this morning and showed you the map of the future. And you sat there and you looked at it and you said, yes. That's the hope that we have in it. And it's the manifestation of our Father. I always say this, it's just a part of it. The first page of the first volume. The very first page. It says the divine plan for the ages is a vindication of our Father's character and government. He has manifested Himself to us in this way. Let me tell you what you already know. Our Lord is the Son of God. You know that. Our Lord is the Son of God. Most do not know that. Our Lord has manifested Himself to you by revealing to you that He is the Son of God, not God. You know that the Father sent Him, our Lord. Most of the world don't know that. You know that He came to be the ransom for all mankind. Most do not know that. You know that He manifested Himself as your bridegroom. We talked about that a little bit already. Have you ever heard of such a thing in the world? No, it's not known. He manifested you as a shepherd and sheep. Most of the world don't know that. He has manifested Himself as the great general of Jehovah, doing the work of tearing down the nations and the systems. And the world sees it, but they don't see it. They don't understand what's taking place. And therefore, their hearts fail them for fear as to what is coming upon them. He has manifested you as the one with kingly authority. With kingly authority. Dealing with, first of all, that one servant. And through that one servant, you and I. And all his household. Seeing that each one of us have meat in due season. Oh, every husband and bridegroom takes care of his bride. We are not talking about the flesh. The bride is the new creature, the new mind. And He has provided us a feast of fat things. Meat in due season. Our next text of scripture is, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Once again, we see this word, if. I guess we could look at it from the negative standpoint and say, if you do not do whatsoever He commands you to do, then you must be at enmity with Him, an enemy for the time being, and therefore not loved in the same way and for the same purpose. And what is it that our Lord does for His friends? Well, you remember the text of Scripture in Genesis, the 18th chapter, the 17th verse, where God tells you what he does for his friends. He called Abraham his friend. And he said, will I hide from Abraham the things that I do? And he's manifested himself to us by showing us the future as well as the past and the present. And that was manifested to us this morning. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And brethren, very simply, this is what you and I need to do if we're going to remain in the love of our Lord. Love one another. It's a little bit hard to see up there, it's light. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This text of Scripture has been taken out of context, and the whole meaning of it has been kind of mixed up and mashed up, and all kinds of thoughts have come out of it. This text of Scripture does not relate to anyone except for the church, for the new creation. Nobody can love another as our Lord loved you and I. No one can do that at this time. That's restricted only to you and I. If we are to follow the example already laid down for us on how our Lord loved us, and that is by laying down our life for the world of mankind and for one another as new creatures. But in addition, if we are to really are to love one another, we should be encouraging one another in the plan that is laid out before us. Because only then, and by doing this, can we demonstrate to our Father that we really love him. It's very simple. If the Father has a plan, and you really love that plan, you want to be a part of it. You want to be a part of it because you're able to understand the end results of it. And the end results of it is no more sin, no more suffering, no more death, no more pain, no more glasses, no more health problems, no more insurance problems, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. On the other hand, there will be life and everything that mankind needs, including instruction. Why is it that in this text, our Lord does not say that we should love the whole world of mankind? Why is it in this text of Scripture that he does not say love mankind at all? Why does he narrow it down just to one another, the church class, the household of faith? Why does he narrow it down that far? It seems to indicate by the words of the text that we have read here that this applies only to the footstep followers of Christ. The reason I think, brethren, is that the results of keeping his commandments will be that mankind will come to recognize us as disciples. That is, those that have the same mission that our Lord had. They will come to recognize us as his students. They hate us now. But they will come to recognize us as his students. Those that have the same those same beliefs that our Lord taught. Not just the foundation beliefs, all of them. We'll have the same teachings, the same doctrines, the same hope that our Lord had. That glorious hope. By keeping his commandments, his instructions, by being educated in this school of Christ, all men will know that we are his disciples. We need to have the love that our Lord had. How do we become a disciple of our Lord? How do we come to this point of having this love that we spoke of here? There are seven steps that we can talk about. The first step is none will know that we are his disciples unless we have turned our back on sin. Such a simple statement, and yet so comprehensive. If we practice sin, the world will think that we are one of them. It is very important for us to have turned our back completely on sin and to manifest that. Number two, we will be recognized as a disciple if we recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, as the only way back to fellowship with God. And this is illustrated in approaching the tabernacle. The only way back into fellowship with God. Number three. We must believe. Oh, lots of people say they believe. But this belief gets a little bit more serious. The belief is illustrated in the curtain around the tabernacle. And it illustrates the fact that those that are within the court are different from those that are outside in the camp. Because they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. We must hold up this righteousness of Christ. Number four. To those that are out in the camp. We must manifest this love and this grace which we have been given. All believers have been given. Number five, we must consider the privilege of sin offering if we are to be a disciple of Christ. That is shown in the brazen altar and that which is on it and the opportunity of going on to full consecration. We must wash our labor. Number six. In addition, we must give our hearts, number seven, our life with all its rights and privileges in full consecration. But even after we give our rights, our life rights, up to the Lord, unless those life rights are accepted of the Father, we still are not one of his disciples. It's only after that consecration has been accepted can we be said to be one of the disciples. And at that point, we have number eight up there. And so now you are a disciple. Number eight says you must be sanctified. You must be set apart from the rest of the world and mankind. And the purpose of that setting apart is that you might eventually be part of bringing the world of mankind back into that one realm. That you might manifest to the world of mankind the love of God. We talk about baptism. Next slide. We talk about baptism. Know ye not that so many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Death is required. Sacrifice is required. Look back over history, brethren. The Lord took the nation of Israel and led them through experience after experience after experience after experience. And they had to learn what things they had to suffer to be called the chosen of God. It is no different from us. When we talk about full consecration, when we talk about baptism, you're not baptized into a system. You're not baptized into a group. You're not baptized into being part of the Bible students. You're baptized into Christ and into Christ's death. And without that baptism, you can never share the love of our Father and our Bridegroom. We all recognize this, and we say it usually every Sunday morning at meeting, sometimes once a month. It's very important. We have entered into a covenant sacrifice, and brethren, it would be well for us to say it every hour, to keep that thought constantly in mind. We have entered into a covenant sacrifice. And we call it, next slide, full consecration. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. How great are your possessions? Have you sold them in the service of our Lord? Giving them all up to use everything you have, including your strength. If you are to be perfect, if you are to be part of that heavenly calling, if you are to be part of those that are going to receive treasures beyond your wildest imagination of fellowship with our Heavenly Father, the great Creator, if you want to know all the mysteries of the universe, and understand every detail of God's plan, you need to fulfill this consecration. And it requires death. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And that we want to do. We want to do. It requires faith. You know, I've read this text of scripture over and over, and I love it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We want to please God. We want to please our Heavenly Father. It means everything to us. We get up in the morning, the first thing we want to do is please our Heavenly Father. And this text of scripture tells us that the only way possible is to understand what his plan is all about. Faith, according to the Greek definition, 4102, means, by extension, the system of religious gospel truth itself. And I believe that's what you have in the vine. You have a system, vines. You have a system of religious gospel truth. And therefore, without this faith, how can you please the Heavenly Father? You don't know what He's about. You don't know what He's doing. You don't know what He's going to do. And you want to know those things because it's necessary if you're going to please Him. Succeeding volumes will elaborate the various branches of this one plan, disclosing at every step that matches harmony of which the truth alone can boast. And be it known that no other system in theology even claims or has ever attempted to harmonize in itself every statement of the Bible, yet nothing short of this can be claimed for these views. And you've heard me say it over and over again, and you'll hear me say it again and again and again. This is one of the most remarkable statements that has ever been written. One of the most remarkable statements, because it makes the pastor either the world's greatest liar or the seventh messenger. And it's your choice. For me, there's no question. There's no question. It goes on to say that only the truth can boast of this. Only the truth. Next text, or next slide shows us that he wants us to come to the unity of the faith. Brethren, this is the hardest thing of all for us even to begin to discuss, because there's such a lack of unity amongst the Bible students, the brethren today. There is. But he wants us to come to the unity. And I think that the only way we can is to return back to an understanding and appreciation of that former slide. To understand that no other system of theology has ever attempted to harmonize itself with every scripture in the Bible, every statement in the Bible. Yet nothing short of that can be claimed. So, he says, come let us reason together. Very simple. Come let us reason together. Let's study these things now. All scripture given by God is profitable for us. And so we should study. All scripture given by inspiration, that word is, should not be in there. All scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, we read about that before, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and there is only one good work. And that is to be part of that atonement. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, we read we can do that by the transforming or by the renewing of our minds. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it says not only should we come to an understanding of it, but we have a responsibility to be transformed by it. That we might know the perfect will of God, the acceptable and perfect will of God. Hold fast to the profession of your faith. You've been given this faith as it were on a silver platter, and yet you have to work for it. Hold fast to that faith, to the faith. And pray without ceasing. These are the instructions of our Lord through His apostles.
disciples to you. Pray without ceasing. Constantly be before the throne of God in your thoughts and in your words. Constantly present the thought to your Heavenly Father that you want to know Him. Know all about Him. Know all about what He's doing now. And constantly look to rejoice in what He is doing. There's a lot of things that are in actuality sad, and yet in reality they are the very things that the butterfly needs in order to fly. The world of mankind needs these experiences, regardless of how hard they are. We see people dying. We had a situation in Columbus, Ohio just this last week where a mother was holding her baby. And one person was running down the street shooting at another person. The mother and baby had nothing to do with it. And one of those bullets went right through the arm of the mother and through the head of the baby. Terrible. Terrible. If we're faithful, brethren, if we're faithful, we can be part of bringing this to an end when there will be no more. If we keep the commandments of our Lord, we can stop this. And then the world can rejoice in the knowledge that we have. So, in addition to praying, in addition to having this, let us let our light shine. Let's share this with everybody. Because even if they can't remember it today, even if they can't comprehend it today, because we have learned, brethren, that these things are spiritual. These things are not discerned by the natural mind. And those that we speak to have a natural mind in most cases. Very few do we have the opportunity to speak to that has any portion of a deep spiritual mind. But it's the beginning. It's the first steps for the world of mankind. We're only a short distance from the end of the seventh created day. In reality, when the world of mankind will no longer have to have these experiences that they're having now. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for that. But let us let our light shine. Don't hide it under your bushel. The next slide. On the bottom there. What can we do? What does the Lord want us to do today? Next slide. Assembling ourselves. Wherefore, comfort ye together and edify one another, even as ye do. We can comfort one another by constantly bringing to the attention of the brethren that we get together with. Not only that the flowers are beautiful in our yard or in the park that we visited, but the fact that the experiences that mankind is having that is tearing them apart in their families, when one member of the family is extremely sick and going through terrible sufferings, mental sufferings that nobody can measure. We can assemble together for the purpose of comforting one another. And the only comfort, brethren, that you have is in your hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You tell me what your hope is, and I'll tell you what your faith is. We have forsaken not the assembling of ourselves together. And remember, the thought behind that is because of what's going on today. Especially today. Don't forsake the assembling yourself together for your own good as well as your brethren. And we have these texts of scriptures
But I especially wanted to bring your attention down here on the bottom, reprint 4077. It is, as we see, the day dawning on that we are to be the more diligent in assembling ourselves with those of like precious faith, the more earnest in exhorting and provoking to love and to good works. And remember again, the good works has to do with atonement for the world of mankind. As a priest, that's what you're called for. And thus, to assist one another in putting on the whole armor. Because the whole armor, as was testified about, the whole armor is the only thing that will keep us. The graces of character, of meekness, of patience, of gentleness, brotherly kindness, faith, truth, hope. I love that particular statement in the Divine. Love and good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. A very simple text. But again, I remind you that there is only one good work, and that's the work of our Father. And that's the bring atonement to the world of mankind. And the very purpose for us to assemble ourselves together, to get together, is for this. If you're getting together for any other purpose than this, question yourself as to whether you are keeping the commandments of the Lord. Be focused, brethren. The world of mankind is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Next. Pray for the oneness that Jesus prayed for. The oneness of you and I and all the brethren. Pray for that oneness. How was our Lord one with the Father? In his understanding and in his purpose. The fact that the Lord did only his Father's work. That's the oneness that we want to pray for. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love the good works again. Next. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Next slide. And now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. You and I are in the world. And our Lord's prayer was, I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That was our Lord's prayer for us. That, in reality, is our Lord's love for us. That's how he expressed his love. He went to his Heavenly Father, and he says, I want you to keep these that thou hast given me. And for all those who will believe on thee through them. That's how he manifested his love. And the first verse of John, the 13th chapter, says, he loved us all the way to the end. He loved us to the end, I think it says. Okay. And he did that, especially for us, because here we are at the end. At the end of the gospel age. In the harvest, and he loved us enough to manifest himself through the truth to us. Next. I love the thought of being one with our Heavenly Father. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Brethren, there's no plan that you can come up with that even becomes closely as good as the Father's. And therefore, let us be beheaded, completely beheaded of all our own thoughts and teachings and ideas of how we can bring a blessing to the world of mankind. It's not possible. Only the Father can.
We laugh at those who have romance, of those that have their own idea of a world government. Let us not become one of them by coming up with our own. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. You and I have to do the same. Precisely. We're going to go through a bunch of them very quickly. We're supposed to walk worthily. We're supposed to walk not as the Gentiles. We're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to walk as children of the light. And the reason why we're supposed to walk as children of the light is because we've been given the light. We've been given the light. Walk as if you have it, as the case may be. Walk circumspectly. Endure chastening. You're chasing your experience, regardless of how hard it is on the flesh, has a purpose. You don't know it yet. You might not understand all the purpose, but the Father is a very good teacher, and He will not give you any experience that's not necessary for you for your future work. Don't forget that faithful servant. Don't forget that faithful servant. That's a foundation for you. The John class in Revelation are those that rejoiced over what they heard from that servant and what they saw by his words. Our Lord's doctrine. Demon. We're running out of time. So, give attention. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. If you want to be or abide in the Father's love, if you want to abide in the Lord's love, there's another exhortation for you. First in the doctrine, let the elders that rule well be accounted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Very important. Next. Whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, had not God. Do you want to be found there? I don't think so. Okay? Wheat. If you are to be wheat, if you are to be wheat, keep His word of instruction. Concluding thoughts. If you are to keep my, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. If, the very first point, having and keeping His love is conditional, ye, the fully consecrated footstep followers of the Lamb, those that are commanded, that have the commandments of the Lord, keep, be obedient, be faithful, be doing. Commandments are the instructions. All the instructions, all the precepts, all the principles of truth. And they are those that come from our Father, the Lord, the Apostle, and the seven angels of the church. Because very specifically, His word bears those up. This was the way that you were to get an understanding of what the Father's instructions were to you and what the Lord's instructions were to you. Abide. Abide in His one. To be one with Him. If you want to be one with Him, if you want to abide in His love, be one with Him. Care for. Love. The love of bridegroom for His bride. Constantly remember our Lord's love for us and the experiences that we have to do with His love for us. No experience that comes to us, either from the Father or the Son, is beyond what we need. The bottom line, compromising the commandments The instruction, the principles of truth, if continued in, will result in the losing of favor, the loss of the love of the Father, and the loss of the love of the bridegroom. Show it in the account of Judas. Show it in the account of the one that was found not having on the bridal robe, and shown in the account of the foolish virgins. That's what happens if we begin to compromise the commandments of the Lord. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And brethren, my prayer is for you that you will abide in the love of your bridegroom and his Father, which is your Father.
Thank you, Brother Lenny. If you keep my commandments, the word "if" means an awful lot there, hasn't it? Then we'll dismiss with the hymn because we are over time, and ask Brother Lenny if he'll close with a prayer, and would he also include the the evening meal?
We'll have a few announcements, Brother, when we're at the prayer.
Holy Father, we are so thankful for the love that we have received of thee and the love of thy dear Son, our bridegroom. And we pray that we might understand and appreciate all the instructions given unto us, that we might study and make them our own. And have made them our own, that we might be faithful in fulfilling them. Forgive us wherein we fall short, Father, and anything that has been said amiss, please forgive us. We leave ourselves in thy care and keeping, asking especially, Father, that thou would bless our fellowship, that our fellowship might renown to thy praise and thy glory, and that it might be of help one to another in making our call and election sure. Bless this food also, Father, which the brethren have so abundantly provided for us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.